kind of doing a little transitioning time, preparing it, my parents' house, for my family to be staying there for a while. We were moving some furniture around, and my folks are, they're not really old, but they're not young either, and so moving some heavy objects is a little difficult for them. So I called the strongest guy I know, and that would be my younger brother. He is a Snohomish County Sheriff, but he lifts weights almost daily, and he is just, huge when you see him. So I call him, and I say, hey, I need your help moving some things. And as he came, we were all kind of bustling around, moving different things, getting ready to put the furniture where it needed to go. And while we were doing that, he was kind of just sitting around looking at his phone, sending some text messages. And so I said to him, I said, hey, make yourself useful. Because he was just sitting around. Everyone else was working, and he was the only one that was doing nothing. And so I said, hey, make yourself useful to what we're doing. The passage that we read really talks about how we can be useful for the work of God.
Amen.
I have no doubt in here there's some folks that if we had a particular need that you would be useful. I know that if we had a problem maybe with some computers, I would be of very little use because I know nothing about computers. But I know a pastor, if there was something with my website, if it crashed or something, I could call him up and he'd be able to walk me through and say, okay, do this, do this. He'd be very useful to helping that get fixed. There's no doubt when there's a medical emergency that comes, certain folks that have medical expertise can be useful to helping save lives and helping meet the needs that's there. Certain folks are mechanically inclined, and if a car breaks down, well, you tell them what's going on. They're right on it. They're useful to get that car fixed. So what I want us to consider this morning is this. Are we useful in the kingdom of God? Mm. Can God use every one of our lives for His honor and for His glory?
Amen.
You know, I've seen in my own personal ministry, in my time preaching and teaching the Word of God, that it's the times where God really works in my heart before I preach a message that God really uses those ones. That time where maybe I'm reading my devotions and there's a certain verse that just kind of jumps out and grabs a hold of me, and God does a work as I consider that verse and He teaches me some things, and then as I teach that to others, those are the ones that God uses the most. And when we look at the passage we have here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, really the idea is this, that the people that are useful to God are those that are working in the Word of God, and the Word of God is working in them. They're working in the Word of God, and the Word of God is working in them. As I mentioned, that it's those messages that first God has worked in you that then He uses to be a help to others. You see in verse number 15, as it starts out, as far as us working in the Word of God, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You understand, passion for studying the Word of God is a marker, is a measurement, really, of our diligence to Him, of our devotion to Him. We see throughout the Word of God that there's things that that are almost gauges as far as how much we love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
Our obedience, our obeying His commandments shows Him that we love Him. So studying passionately the Word of God is a marker of our devotion, of our diligence to the Savior. It says there that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. That word approved there has the idea of being tested, of being proven its worth. Back in the day that Paul wrote this letter, they would oftentimes use coins or metal as objects to trade, and they would use that really as money, but that metal would have to be tried. It would be placed in the fire to make sure it was authentic, to make sure that it really had the worth that the people said it was. It wasn't fake or phony. So we are approved unto God. We show our worth to Him by faithfully studying the Word of God. See, a diligent student of the Bible, someone who knows the Word of God, is a great work to God. It's someone that He can use, someone that He is able to flow and work through. It says there that we're studied to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The reason that oftentimes we don't study the Bible is because it's work. It's much easier when we get off of work to go home and turn on the TV and kind of shut our brains off, isn't it? It's a little more difficult to pull out our Bible and get some resources and study the Word of God because it takes effort. It takes mental focus. It takes attention. And it takes work. And oftentimes we just don't want to put the work in to study. And it says that many here are ashamed because they're not working in the Word. They're ashamed because there are a lot of questions that they don't know the answers to. They're ashamed because there's things they think they should know, but they don't. And so they're ashamed. Others are ashamed because they have doubts and they're not convinced from the Bible that it's true. But the more that we study the Word of God, the more that we are in it, the more that the Bible is consumed, then the more it's trusted.
That's right.
You understand? The more that we are in the book, the less doubts that we have. The more convinced we become and the less ashamed we are. Why is it that we don't have the courage and the boldness to declare the Word of God to our co-workers or that family member when God presents this opportunity because we've not been working in the Word? And we're ashamed to speak out because we're not convinced of it because we've not been consuming it.
Right.
We've not been digested in this sense. When I was serving in the Air Force, I remember my first time I worked on F-16 aircraft on the weapon system, and when I remember first getting on the flight line, I was just a 19-year-old kid, and had just really been in training. Wasn't on the flight line; it was just on aircraft that were different parts. And I remember for the first couple weeks getting out there on the flight line, where the jets are running and the parts are moving. And I remember just thinking, I hope I don't do something stupid, like walk into an intake and get sucked up, or get blown away by the jet exhaust, or why the thing's going through, run right into an aileron when it's coming down. I remember just thinking, I just hope I don't kill myself out here. I was of very little use, probably, when it came to accomplishing much on the aircraft. But now I remember my last week while I was working the flight line after several years of being out there, accomplishing jobs, of putting the work in. It wasn't uncommon for my supervisor to grab a couple of these guys and go do this. And I just, hey, let's go. And I had the confidence that the job, and I was useful for those folks that needed me to do a job. Why? Because I didn't work. And recently, my wife and I were in Alaska, and I remember learning about the gold rush, that you could just go up there and pick up, become rich. But really, that was not. They would dig out gravel and just little by little run the water through to find little flakes of gold. And day in and day out, they'd have that. And there'd be a lot of things that they would not be able to use. But after a little while, they'd just find these little specks of gold. And they would just keep working and keep working. And those little specks would add up. You know, so that's the thing that God really has for you.
Right.
It's not that the rest is wasteful. It's just that God doesn't just download the Word of God, finding that truth that He has for us. But it takes work. Verse 15, God expected in that God intended. Pastor, I overheard him talking this morning a little bit about how he had to make a couple stops on the way to church. One of those stops was Starbucks. He didn't have to stop there. He wanted to. Nothing wrong with that. Occasionally, I make stops to Starbucks as well. But you know, when it comes to handling the Word of God, we can't make stops that we want to make.
Yeah.
There's folks that do that, and they take this verse and they go this way with it and say, I want it to mean this. But that's not rightly dividing the Word of truth.
Right.
When we are rightly dividing the Word of truth, we take the Word of God and we take it to God's expected end. We don't go over here because that's a little more convenient for us.
Right.
Or we don't go over here because that's a stop, hey, I just personally want to make.
It's good preaching.
But we take it to the expected end that God has for us.
That's right.
And it's only when we're studying the Word of God and faithfully working in it that then we can understand this
Amen.
Is what God
Amen.
Intended. And I can take that to the place that God wanted me to take. Verse 16 says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
That's right.
And their word will eat at the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus.
Right.
Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. It appears that there were some men in the church at Ephesus that like to do like men do and have a little chit-chat time. And probably as they were doing a little chit-chatting amongst themselves, they didn't invite the preacher to come and join in the conversation. And as they were having this chit-chat and they were talking about things, what they were talking about is not really the correct things that the Word of God had to say. And so Paul is calling them out and he's telling the folks there, telling Timothy and warning him that these men are not rightly dividing the Word of truth. Mm-hmm. They're not taking the truth to God's expected end, and they made a little pit stop over here, and he calls them by name as Hymenaeus and Philetus. And 1 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul had already called out Hymenaeus, and he actually says this, that he'd given him over to Satan that he learned not to blaspheme. It wasn't just that Hymenaeus was a little confused about a verse, but he was taking the word of God and he was actually leading God's people astray. He was saying things contrary, taking away from the glory of God, taking away from the deity, saying things that took away from the truth of Jesus Christ. He was blaspheming. Paul says that delivered him over to Satan. And it says here in the passage that some of the other folks in the church had followed their path. They had gone this way as they followed what these men were chatting about, as they were teaching. And it says that really what these men were teaching, it says it's athapanker. That word, when you study the Greek, is the same word where we would get our medical term gangrene. It was a disease that spreads. And I'm not a medical doctor, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know this: when someone gets gangrene, there is no cure for it.
Right.
There's no treatment to make it better. The only treatment is to cut it off.
That's right.
So that it doesn't spread to other parts. And when there's folks that are not rightly dividing the word of truth, really what needs to happen is they've got to be cut off.
Right.
Because what happens, and what was going on here, is they will overthrow the faith of some.
Right.
If they are not cut off. They will spread to those who are not working in the word of God and who are susceptible to this false teaching, who will give ear to that and they'll be led astray.
Right.
And we also really, I just want you to think about this. Just because someone has a following doesn't mean that they have the truth.
Right.
We understand that Hymenaeus and Phileas, they had some folks in the church that followed them. But just because they had a following, just because there were those listening to their message, does not mean that they were correct.
Right.
And it says, as they were teaching this, that some had their faith overthrown. You know, men and women whose faith is overthrown aren't of much use to the kingdom of God.
Right.
Men can cause us at times to struggle in our Christian walk. I honestly think that through my experience of being in ministry and experience of my time saved, some of the most difficult things to deal with that people get distracted or discouraged by is when men let them down. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a pastor, maybe someone who they've looked up to, who taught one thing but then it came to find out did another thing.
Right.
Or maybe who taught faithfully one thing but then they changed and begin to teach this thing.
Right.
And it's those, as these men change, it can be discouraging.
Right.
One particular time where this happened in my life, there was a man when I was in the Air Force. I was a young Christian. I'd only been saved a little time when I went in the Air Force and got involved in church there. And there's a man there that taught Sunday school. He was a younger man. And he had been in the Air Force, wasn't in the Air Force anymore. But I looked up to him. And he would go golfing. We would go fishing. He was a friend of mine. And I looked up to him as someone who'd been saved for a good time. And even in Bible college, boy, we'd speak often. And I'd go stay with them when I visited that area. My wife and I, after we were married, we would go to their house weekly and play games with them. And we just had great fellowship with them. Well, there came a time where that man, it turns out, had a secret life. Where, and he just decided he was done serving God and went this way. Remember, really, he decided the weeks after my wife and after our family left for the field, he was going to divorce his wife and me. And I remember thinking how difficult that was, that this man that I looked up to, that I had fellowship with,
right,
had been such a help to me at times. He's now going this direction. There's been other times. And I think sometimes that's the most difficult thing that we struggle with in the Christian
life.
But as we get down, verse number 19 here is kind of a transition verse. It says this: "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." The word of God and the work of Christ has not changed. Men may say one thing and then change.
Right.
But what doesn't change is what God says.
That's right, amen.
The word of God and what God promised he would do and what he said he would do never changes. And we can be rest assured, though, at times in this life that we live, it seems like everything around us is changing. It seems like people are changing. And there's nothing that is sure. We can understand the Word of God is always sure.
Amen.
That it will never change. That what God promised and what God said to us will always be the same.
Amen.
Men may change their minds, but God won't change their
minds. Amen. Right, amen.
And our assurance is not based upon what men say or do, but upon what God says or does. And it says there, as we read it, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. See, we can rest assured that God knows that we have been saved based upon the work that Christ did for us. Not based upon what any man says. Not based upon anything that we have done. But based upon what Christ has already accomplished.
Right.
And no matter what happens around us and what changes around us, that will never change. So our assurance, we can rest assured that we are in good hands. That God knows that we are his. And that nothing can change that. I like, there's a song I've recently heard. I hate to say popular, but folks are using it in different CDs, but on what never changes. And the chorus of that song says this: if the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to drop, no matter what man struggles of learning a language and adjusting to a different culture, and there are different struggles that have, the circumstances may be more difficult than they've been in the past, God's still there.
Amen.
Because we've fallen apart, God's stand on is in good condition.
Amen.
And nothing's happening to us. In verse where we start to go from working in the Word to now the Word of God working in us. Came that we've trusted Christ for our salvation, then we've been really dropped off at the airport and been given a one-way ticket to depart from a place called iniquity. And we're to get on a plane and we're to travel to really what we would call sanctification, to the image of Christ. Departing from the previous life, from the old man, from iniquity. And though there's times where we may hit turbulence along the way and maybe a bumpy ride, we're never to turn around and go back to where we departed from.
No.
And that would be iniquity. We're to head in the direction where we are being changed to the image of Jesus Christ. And verse number 20 and 21 talks about this. It says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What is the work that God is wanting to do us? As we study the Word of God, as we put ourselves into it, and we understand it, as we look for the treasure, as we dig for the truth that God has for us, then we're to take the Word of God and really turn it around and
right.
Let it study us.
Right.
See, we don't just study the Bible so that we can put the Jehovah's Witness or whoever in their place, and we don't just study it so that we understand all the facts of the Bible, although we ought to know those things.
Yeah.
The purpose for studying the Word of God is so that we can then turn around and let it study us.
Amen.
That we can let it evaluate us and see, am I living according to the truth of what I've just studied and understand now? We're to let it study us.
Good.
See, the work of God that God wants to do in us is He wants to purge us from those things that are dishonorable. He wants to purge us from sin and unrighteousness so that then we can be more useful for Him. We don't just fill our minds with Bible facts, but we study the Word of God so that then it can study us.
Right. Amen.
And those, here's the idea, don't miss this, those that God is greatly working through, He is first greatly working in. We want God to work through us, we first have to let Him work in us.
Amen.
The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a natural man beholding his face in a glass.
That's right.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the Word, this man shall be blessed in his
name. Amen.
The idea there is that the Word of God is a mirror. We're to look into it, but not a quick glance. We're to look in deep. It's kind of like the difference between my wife and I when we're getting ready in the morning. Oftentimes, I'll spend maybe just a few minutes in front of the mirror, shaving, getting myself ready, and it's a pretty quick process. But my wife, when she's getting ready, she's in there for a little while, making sure everything is perfect. Taking a little time. Not just staring at herself, but she's making sure everything is right.
Right.
The process takes a little while, so it's a little more detail involved. And that's what we're to do when we look into the perfect law of liberty. When we're studying the Word of God, it's not to just be a quick glance. We're not just to jump into a book of Proverbs and flip through it real quick and then say, okay, I've done my reading for the day. But we're to look in detail. We're to look for the things. When we study the Word of God, every word is important.
Mm-hmm.
Even really down to the periods and the commas, so that we can really understand what we're doing. Oftentimes, really, it's that we walk away from the Bible unchanged because we've not really taken the time to look in detail.
Right.
And evaluate and think introspectively against the Word of God, comparing our lives against the Word of God, and saying, am I living this out of my life? And that's why we walk away not any different than when we came to it. We're kind of like that silly teenager who wakes up 2 minutes before he's supposed to go out the door and looks at himself all disheveled and says, it's good enough for me, and walks away. Friends, it's not good enough for God. For to be useful for Him, if He's going to change our lives to be like Jesus Christ, it's going to take some studying and taking some time, meditating and really considering and praying as we are met face to face with the truths of the Word of God, to ask ourselves, am I living this? Is this in my life? Do other people see this truth lived out in me? Would my wife, would my husband, would my children see that I am actively doing this in my life? Or to stand in front of the mirror for a little while and see the things that we need to alter and fix. The verse closes there in verse number 21, and it says, and prepare unto every good work. Preparation for doing a good work starts with first being a good work. God wants to do a good work through us, and the Bible repeatedly talks over and over about how we're to be rich in good works, and we're to do good works. But God doesn't want us just to do a good work. He wants us to be a good work. He wants to be doing a good work in us so that then we can go do a good work.
Amen.
When I was younger, my family and I, we lived, before we moved to Marysville, we lived on a little house out on Armour Road near the Arlington Airport. And in that house was a little house, but it had a big property. There was 14 acres there. Now there's a few houses there. But I remember when we moved to there, that house back behind it had this old barn. And right away when we moved to that house, I remember my parents saying to us, we don't ever, as the kids, we were never to go into that barn. And the reason we were never to go into it is because it was kind of leaning a little bit. The wood was all rotted. It had been there for who knows, probably a century. And they were afraid that at any time that barn would just collapse. So we never went into that barn. We never used that barn to store anything because of the danger, the fear that at any time that thing would just fall apart and collapse on our stuff and on any people. And so we probably lived in that house for 6 years. We never used that barn for one thing. I don't know how long that barn stood after we moved away. I would really be surprised if it's still standing today. But in that 6 years, I remember there were some storms and the wind blew and the rain came down. It really didn't cause that barn to fall. That barn, it stood faithful for the 6 years that we lived. But it was not really good for anything. Sometimes we praise faithfulness, and I think we should. We ought to be faithful to the Word of God. But God is not only just looking for faithfulness. He's also looking for fruitfulness. God's not looking for us just to be here. He wants us to be useful for His work as well.
Amen.
He wants to be able to use us in His work and His ministry. So, this morning, as we consider the truth of the Word of God, how is your work in the Word going? How are you spending time studying the Word of God? Finding its truths? And how is the Word's work in you going?
That's right.
Are you being changed as you read the Bible on a daily basis personally? If you come to church and the Word of God is working and you're hearing the truth as your pastor is teaching and preaching it, are you submitting like senior and not just being a hearer of the Word but a doer of the Word? How's the book in your heart about your work in the Word? And you've not been diligently studying like you should. Been watching your favorite show. You spend a lot of time in the Word of God. I'm not putting a lot of effort in to trying to know and study and find those truths that God has for me. You would say, God, but I want to do better. By your grace, I want to be studying the Word. I'm not giving way to that. make a change, but he first has to do a work in your life. Because he's trying to purge you. He's trying to get rid of those dishonorable things so you be prepared for a good one. Well, I hope you'll spend time with him this morning saying, okay, God, shed this out of his spoken upon.
Head bowed, eyes closed. This board deals with folks. And I think you'll agree that what both Tim spoke on, the Lord laid on his heart, is certainly the help and necessary for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truths and the plain words we find in Scripture. We thank you that, Father, we've been challenged this morning to consider and to evaluate ourselves in the light of your word and the help of your Holy Spirit. So whether or not, Lord, we are diligently spending time in your word, meditating therein, so that your word can do a work in us. Certainly it is. It's never a good thing, Father, to be complacent or okay with where we're at spiritually. The Lord always looking for an opportunity to grow. I just ask that, Lord, that the things that you've spoken to us about this morning would be real enough that even as we leave this place and go to our homes and rest this afternoon in preparation for tonight, it might be upon our hearts and minds. Now, whatever work that you're doing, Lord, we would not be resistant to it. Father, we would embrace it, as difficult as it may be. I ask now that you would bless us, shower your grace upon us. Thank you for the 10 brinks. Bless them as they prepare, Lord, to head back to Uruguay, as you use them to plant that church, Lord willing, that they might reach many people through you. Use them, Lord, while they're here stateside. I pray, Father, that you would bless their ministry. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anything before we go today? All right. If there's not, Lord bless you. Make sure you say hello to Tim Brick. Spend some time with him. And let him know if you are praying for him. And take a look, grab a new prayer card and hang it on your refrigerator so you can pray for them, all right? God bless you. Let's be dismissed. Amen. I like that. Hey, you were